The message is entitled Created Identity, a subject which has caused many, many people to ponder and to make mistakes sometimes. And the word created means to make or cause to become, to bring into existence. So when you create something, you bring something into existence. And an identity is yours and my distinct personality. A character given out by which people know us. So people know me, my identity is a very shy person. See, so your identity is given by God. We're going to start with that subject and then move into adoption, which is Ephesians. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about facts versus feelings. It's very important when you're a Christian to remember the facts and not always move on your feelings. And I'll draw that out and try and explain that to you. And if you read Romans 1, you'll see that there was a decline in society. After Paul's introduction, he talks about how people denied the Creator and worshipped creation instead. And then he moves on to the fact that people then eventually lead immoral lives. I mean, reading Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no word. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. See, if you don't believe in God, look at the heavens, the creation universe. It's fantastic. And I like watching pictures from the Hubble telescope. And you see there the wonder and the majesty of God. And many people now just deny creation. And it's an important point. Romans says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that people are without excuse. I feel very sorry for David Attenborough and people like that. When they die, they'll meet their creator, the person they've denied all their lives. You know, creation is fantastic, but we worship creation through the creator, don't we, as Christians? We thank God for his amazing, amazing universe. Brian Cox is quite famous now and quite sort of into the heavens and the stars. But even he says this, and I quote, the solar system is driven by rhythms so regular that the whole thing can be run by clockwork. It seems extraordinary that such a well-ordered system could have come into being spontaneously. But it is in fact a great example of the beauty and the symmetry that lies at the heart of the universe. Even he believes that in order to have something created, must be a person who created it. And to me, it's amazing, God's universe. And we see that God made anything that was made, it was very good. Can I tell you one fact that amazes me, right? The moon goes round the earth in 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes and 3 seconds, right? And that never changes year after year. Have you wondered why we never see the back face of the earth? Because if we are the moon, we're the earth here, and we always see the front of the moon, don't we? To see the back, you've got to get a rocket and go behind it. But the moon rotates a little bit each day, so you always see the face of the moon. Isn't that amazing? So the moon doesn't spin like we spin, but it just somehow it lines itself up with the earth every day of the year. Isn't that amazing? How do you do that? How does God do that? It's incredible. People say if you look into a telescope, you see God. If you look down a microscope, you see God. He is a wonderful creator. But now I want to talk about his greatest creation, which is us, you and me. We should be like God because we were created in his image. Your life should be wonderfully advertising the Word of God. So when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you say, oh dear. Whatever. When you get hurt, you forgive. And that's your identity. But I wanted to just read something which is incredible. It says this, Psalm 139. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. And yet, in creation, in Genesis, we read, Genesis 2:7, that God created you and me out of dust of the earth. Yes? I've always believed that. But I thought, wow, you know, you get a piece of dust and you see, well, you and I are dust. In fact, in one of the Psalms, he remembers that we are dust. So what happens now is this. I done some investigation. Being an engineer, I like to know how things work. When I was a young kid, I used to take my bike apart. My mum used to say to me, what are you doing that for, Robert? That was my name. And when I hear the word Robert now, I know I'm in trouble because it's my wife trying to catch my attention. I want to know how it works, you see. So I looked and found out that in dust, in earth, there is calcium, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and phosphorus. All right? You got that? Now, if you know me, you know that I always like to bring charts. Do you realise also in Earth there are small amounts of cobalt, chlorine, chromium, copper, manganese, molybdenum, potassium, sodium, sulfur, tin, and vanadium? So what our Heavenly Father did, he got some dust together and formed out of the dust man, and then woman came from man. Right? Okay. So the reason I'm doing it, so God got all these chemicals together and he made us. And to make us work, he sprinkled in bits and pieces. Why do I say that? Because there are the major chemicals I just read out, which are found in dirt. Can you see this in the cheap seats? All right. Yeah. And then 0.9% is all the other things that I mentioned that are in dirt. So when God says, I remember that you are dust, and when we all die, if we go in the grave from dust to dust, is that right? So when the Bible says God created man, he knew exactly what he was doing. He created us from dust. Isn't that amazing? So Genesis 2 verse 7 is absolutely accurate. And when I look at this beautiful lady, you're dust, sorry. That's what we are. And from dust we are made, to dust we return. But that is the pinnacle of God's creation. You and me. The stars, the universe are important. But the pinnacle of God's creation is when he created you and me in his image to enjoy his universe. Isn't that amazing? And when you move away from that, and you might think and believe you come from a monkey or whatever, that takes away your identity. We don't come from monkeys. We were created in God's image for a purpose. That's our first identity. And he's quite specific. He made male, female. And in Mark 16, Mark says that also, that he reminds us God made us male and female. That is so important to understand. So that's my first sort of point. I'll have one more from 1 Corinthians 1:15. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a like him in spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven, as was a heavenly man. So are those who are of the earth, and as is this heavenly man, so also those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So we have the image of the earthly man, flesh and blood, and God breathed in the Hebrew, his ruah, into man to make him alive. We now have the spiritual man. So there are people that we know, our friends or some of our family, that don't know the spiritual man, don't really know Jesus. But the moment you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you transist in your identity amazingly from just being a man or woman born of dust to a person who belongs to God through Christ. And when you're a Christian, you have an amazing different identity than a person who is not. We have been adopted, which is my next subject, by the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Our identity in Christ should shape every aspect of our life. And of course, coming to church on the Sabbath, which today is part of the aspect of our lives. And we are spiritual. We have an understanding of things that other people cannot even grasp. Ephesians 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his good pleasure and will. God wants people to know him through Jesus Christ. That's his pleasure and good will. God gets really excited when people come to Christ and they turn from their life without Christ and accept Christ as their Lord and Saviour and live a different life. And their identity is completely changed. Was your identity changed when you became a Christian? Yeah? I must admit to you that I'm still a naughty boy, really. You know, I get into trouble, not illegal trouble, but yeah, I like just making people laugh and that sort of stuff. So I have changed a lot. Now, adoption was very common in the Roman world. If you're a Roman rich man and you had a home and no heir, it's very common for that rich man who didn't have any blood relatives would adopt a nephew or somebody else or even a slave. And Paul talks about this a lot in the New Testament. We're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to Christ, yes? So if you were in Rome, you could be adopted, and that only happened when the person died, yes? Same today, you know, you don't get your parents' money before they die, so please don't pray for your parents to die early, will you? All right. So this is very important. Now, adoption is something which, in the Bible, is very interesting. I want to draw to explain this. Where did I put my pen? Oh, here. Right. Now, I had a mum and dad. Believe that, right? So, there's my mum and dad, and they had five children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 5 children. And that was me there, Robert, in the middle. So my elder brother who passed last year, 10. My elder sister, Bonnie, me. Younger brother, John. And my little sister called Fran. Okay. Now, I got married and I now have 4 children, right? Okay, you got that? So the bloodline in my family is roughly like that. And now they've got 10. Yeah, Very expensive for us, Christmas. My wife is absolutely flat out. Right, now I can draw that and you can draw that, yes? Now my mum and dad were not Christian. They didn't go to church. But one day, my brother met a lady called Dorothy or Dot. And he became a Christian. His bloodline changed. And because of that, I became a Christian. Yeah? So I'm now in the bloodline of Christ, and amazingly, my younger brother and sister are all Christian. And now I've got 3 children who are Christian. Whoops. And one who has been a bit naughty at the moment. So the moment you become a Christian, God has predestined you to be part of his family. And just like in Roman times, we are heirs of Christ. You got that? God the Father loves us just like he loves his Son, because we are members of his family. And I think we forget that sometimes. That Jesus Christ died for us in order that we might inherit eternal life, heaven, and everything else. Not because we're clever, because somebody impacted our lives. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit and the cross got my brother to become a Christian. And because of that, I went to a little Sunday school thing, Sunshine Corner, jolly, jolly fine, it's for children under 99. Anyway, I won't go there. And that changed my life. My identity changed. Your identity changed by grace, because what Christ did and because what your heavenly daddy wants you to be, an inheritance of his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Yes. And going back to creation, when Christians look at creation, we see it differently to people who aren't, because we know the designer. We know the creator. We know the person who put this into an amazing place. Jesus said, "Do not worry, I have gone to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you will be also." Now, if you look at the universe, the solar system, the earth, the moon, the sky, the clouds, the rain, everything else, how wonderful that is. And God's going to create a place for us in heaven. If the cosmos is so wonderful, what in heaven will be? It'll be amazing. It'll be absolutely unbelievable. So we've been adopted into his family. And it's something that it just impacts me. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Okay? I'm amazed. And have you noticed, I'll say this a minute, we are children of God. We're never called the adults of God, are we? So we're all children. I'm just like you, I'm a child of God. And that helps me, because as a child, you don't understand everything. But as a man, a woman, when you get old, you think you do. But actually, the more I've found regarding God, the more I know about him, I know the less I know. Every time I get one question answered, I get 10 more. And that's where faith comes in. Because to know Jesus and Calvary and his grace and his love and affection as a child is amazing. You know, isn't that a lovely feeling? Yes. When we have our grandchildren, we have 10 of them. It's just lovely, isn't it? That's exactly what Father God is doing to you right now. He's loving you like a baby. And every time I pick up my carpet, it's more like that, too big. But when you have a hug with someone you love, isn't it nice? The endorphins start to go and you get a warm fuzzy. Some people are called cold prickly because, oh, hang on. But when God hugs us, we're his children. And he loves us very much. I'm going to finish with, I made it a bit short because of what's going on today. I want to talk about facts and feelings and bring this all together. In James 5, verse 13, it says this. It's a lovely verse. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. If anybody happy, let them sing songs of praise. Right? So I just want to, I hope you can all see this. Right, this is the fact zone. I'll call it a zone if you like. So there's a fact. The fact is, by grace, you and I are born again in the Spirit of Christ, just like I've been telling you. We've been adopted by our Heavenly Father through Christ. That's fact, isn't it? Yeah? Right? Now, outside of fact and inside of fact, we have feelings. And we have feelings down here as well. Right. So what happens is this. If you're like me, which you probably are, you sometimes forget that you're a child of God and your heavenly place is secure. I mean, I'm getting quite old now. I'm 57 plus VAT. So I know that my death day, in the next 10 years maybe, I don't know. But that don't worry me because I know where I'm going. And I keep telling my kids, don't worry, when granddad goes, oh, that's later. Anyway, if granddad goes, granddad knows where he is, right? But sometimes I forget that and get a bit worried about stuff. But also, if your life is like my life, it's like this, you can have feelings which make you very, very happy, yeah? Right, like James said, you know, if anyone is happy, let them sing songs of praise, right? So when you're happy, I replaced my car recently, 12-month old. You know. I was happy, but I sang praises to God and thanked him for it. Because I know my true identity is here, and I might feel happy, but the main reason I'm happy is because God provided it for me. Right, like James says, if you are sad, don't go and smack your wife or something. You pray. Where? Back to your fact line. So don't let feelings rule your life. Because if your life is like mine, it's a bit up and down. Yes? You have good days and bad days. But the fact is, through adoption and through creation, you and I are children of God. And that's a fact. And no one can separate from the love of God, Paul says. Nothing. Nothing will separate you from God unless you willfully and very naughtily turn your back on him. And that's another question. I won't go there. But basically, your happiness and my happiness, this Christmas, for instance, is rooted not in all the tinsel and the Christmas tree, which actually is a pagan thing, you know, don't you? It's a pagan thing we do. But we do it anyway. But our Christmas is all about this. The fact God sent his son that you and I might become Father's children. So when you are happy, or more so when you are upset, there are feelings. But when you go back to your fact zone, about a year ago, November, on the 6th, I was with my family and watched my brother, who was 84, die, right? I was there with his two daughters and his son-in-law, all Christians. And I was up there on the morning Tuesday, came home Wednesday, found out Ken had taken a turn. He lives in Birchwood, just north of Birmingham. So I got back in my car and went up there, and obviously it was the end. And by then he was in his bed. The two previous days he was downstairs, so we knew it was quite serious. We sat there for hours, and my daughter, sorry, Ken's daughter, one of Ken's son-in-law, is a worship leader at a big church in Manchester. And he had his guitar there, softly playing. We were holding Ken's hand, and he went about 11 at night. And even though we're all crying, the peace that we all had was amazing. And Ken and Dot had been married for over 60 years. And we were all worried about Dot. So by the time everything was sorted, we went to bed at 4 a.m. And I lay on the floor in the lounge, etc. And we got up at 8 o'clock. And we, like my niece and I, we're all worried about Dot. Dot came down the stairs. How are you? I'm okay, she said. I'm fine. Why? Because the fact is, Ken is now with Jesus. So that's a real experience where facts helped my family to get through quite a sad period. And that happened for all of us. So, recap. You are God's best creation. Much better than the sun, the moon, and the stars, anything else. You are made in the image of God. You are beautiful because God made you beautiful. And you are made in his image, male or female. That is a whole ball game at the moment. It's very sad to see so many people try and alter that. They are denying their creator. Secondly, you're adopted into his family. You are heirs of Christ. One day we'll be in heaven. Through grace alone, one day we will see Jesus face to face. One day we shall be with him forever. Should have tied you up. So there you are. There's a message. I'm going to pray for you. That's all right. Oh, trying to tie you up. I was going to pray for you. When I often pray, I don't close my eyes because you don't have to really. So I'm going to pray the Lord will bless you. The Lord will help you realize that you are a child of his, made in his image, adopted through the death, the resurrection of his son, that we might be with each other on earth and with him on earth, with each other and him forever and ever and ever. And one day Jesus Christ is coming back. Not as a baby in Bethlehem, but as a mighty warrior bringing his wrath on this earth. And before that, taking us up to be with him. And I pray between now and then, we'll all enjoy the fact we are children of God in his name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.